So, as you may already notice that the title on the screen is different with the title on your brochure. But either way, we are trying to understand how the pH controls the carbon cycle to carbon dioxide to methane. So first is some background. So carbon mineralization basically is the oxidation of organic carbon to inorganic carbon, and it involves several groups of microorganisms. So initially, the fermenting bacteria increase the enzymes to hydrolyze the organic polymers to monomers, and which further degraded to the fatty acids, alcohols, carbon dioxide, and hydrogen. And on the next step, syntrophic bacteria will convert organic acid and alcohol to acetate. So low molecular organic substrate can be further oxidized to carbon dioxide with the reduction of several terminal electron acceptors, such as nitrate and sulfate. And methane production is the terminal step of carbon cycling, a carbon mineralization. And in most of the ecosystem, the acetate, carbon dioxide and hydrogen are the main substrate for methane production. So there's two main pathways for methane production. One is the split acetate to methane, and this is termed acetic clastic methanogenesis. And the other one is the reduction of carbon dioxide with coupling to the hydrogen oxidation, and is termed hydrogenotrophic methanogenesis. And in most of the system, the acetic clastic methanogenesis with methanogenesis to dominate the methane production. However, in some acidic peatlands, we also see that hydrogenotrophic methanogenesis will dominate the pathway. So peatlands covers less than 3% of the Earth's surface, but it contains about one-third of the world's soil carbon pool to 3 meters depth. And most of the peat soils are water-saturated, so the organic carbon undergoes anaerobic mineralization, and which produces the carbon dioxide and methane. And as such, peatlands is responsible for about 8% of the global methane flux. And research has been suggested that peatlands could be a potential source for methane in the future to predict climate change, and hence it's of great interest and great importance to understand the fundamental control on the methane production in the peatlands. And peatland exists along an ambrotrophic and mineralotrophic gradient, and which describes the distribution of different types of peatlands across the landscape. And here's some picture that shows some of the examples. So on the left is the ambrotrophic bog. And it receives most of its water inputs and mineral contents from the precipitation. And the one on the right is the mineralotrophic fen, and it receives most of these the waters and mineral contents from the groundwater or in the upland runoffs. As such, mineralotrophic fens most of the time has a higher mineral contents than the ambrotrophic box. So other than water inputs, there's a quite difference across this gradient, such as the pH, cation concentration, carbon quality, nutrient availability, and vegetation community structure and composition, as you can see in the pictures. And also, we find that the methane production and anaerobic carbon cycle is quite different across this gradient. And this is an example shows the variation of methane efficiency across a peatland gradient. And here, we define the methane efficiency as the ratio of the methane production to the total gas or carbon production, which includes the methane and CO2 production, which is in the y-axis right here. And the x-axis shows the peatland gradients from the left to right is the ambrotrophic bog to the mineralotrophic. And so we can see clearly from these figures that as we move from the ambrotrophic bog to the mineralotrophic fen, the efficiency of methane production increases step by step. And this phenomenon has been widely observed in the peatlands. However, the underlying mechanisms control this variation is not well known. And in our research, we also noticed that pH highly co-valued with this variation, and the pH shows you on the second axis, y-axis here, and which is in the line here. As we move from the ambrotrophic box to the mineralotrophic fens, pH increase, and along with the efficiency of methane production. So we are inspired by this observation. We try to understand how the pH controls the anaerobic carbon cycling to the methane and CO2 production. And we also want to know how the pH controls the dominance of methanol pathway. And we also want to understand how the pH affects the acid production across this gradient. So to do so, we collect peak samples from 6 peel lines across the peel line gradient. And those peel lines here is geologically close together, not much far away from each other. And in the laboratory, we adjust the pH of each course from each peak lines to pH 3.5 to 6.5. And this pH range pretty much covers the native pH, the range of native pH of those peaks. And we incubate the samples about 43 days. And during the incubation, we collect all the samples to analyze the chemical analysis. And I'm not showing all the data right here, but basically, we found that the nitrate, nitrite, and sulfate is below detection limit, and which indicate that the denitrification and sulfurication is contributing minimal to the anaerobic carbon mineralization during this experiment. And we also estimate that the iron reduction contributes about less than 12% of the total carbon mineralization here. And we also collect gas samples and use the radioactivity carbons to trace to determine the methanogen pathways during the incubation. And these four figures shows the acetate concentration as response to pH adjustment. And from the left to right and the top to down, that's the incubation time from day 2 to day 43. And for each figure, the y-axis is the acetate concentration. And the x-axis from left to right, that shows the peel line gradient from ambrotrophy box to the mineralotrophy film. And for each peak size, the four columns right here from left to right is the pH from 3.5 to 6.5. And from this stuff, from these slides, this layout is consistent. So on the day 2, we found that there's not much pH effect on the acetate concentration, but we found that the acetate concentration on these two boxes is really small. However, in day 7, we see that acetate concentration increase. Also, we found that increased the pH readily increased the acetate production, and which is most especially on the first three ambrotrophic sites, and which is also observed in the day 15 and day 43. And we also notice that start from the day 7, acetate accumulates, and acetate concentration increase on the low three peak sites, especially at a higher pH, and this is last until the last day of incubation. However, we notice that on the mineralotrophic ferns, start from the day 15, we find that the acetate concentration decrease, and on the last day of incubation, that acetate concentration pretty much is gone. And I will show you later on the decrease in acetate concentration is because the consumption of acetate by the acetic class methanogenesis. So, under anaerobic conditions, acetate can mainly derive from the fermentation in complete oxidation of the carbon by sulfur reduction and also by the homoacetogenesis. And as mentioned previously, we saw that the sulfur reduction is minimum, so we don't believe the acetic accumulation here has come from the sulfur reduction. But also in another separate experiment, we also quantify the homoacetogenesis. It's right here. We also quantify the activity of homoacetogenesis in another separate experiment, and we found that basically that this activity only contributes less than 20% of the acetate production, regardless of pH and size. So we believe that acetic accumulation as response to pH is majorly comes from the fermentation right here. And I will show you later on, we found that in ambrotrophic sites, increase the pH, increase the acetic accumulation. However, later on I will show you that in these two sites, the consumption of acetate by the methanogens is minimal. So that's the reason cause the acetic accumulation in the mineralotrophic site, in the ambrotrophic box. And CO2 is also production of the fermentation. As you can see on the day 2, readily increase the pH, we increase the CO2 production across all the sites. And this is last day of incubation. And similar to the acetate accumulation and CO2 production, you can see the increase the pH, increase the methane production rates. And I'm going to skip this slide because we found that I did not show here, but basically we found that acetic class methanogenesis greatly dominate the methane pathway. So the pH response of the acetic class methanogenesis pretty much represents the response of total methane production to the pH. So on the day 2, we can see that later in the mineralotrophic sites, we can see increased pH greatly increase the rate of acetic class methanogenesis. By the way, acid class methanogenesis use the acetate as a substrate to produce the methane. So on the day two, we see there's a strong pH effect on the rich or acid class methanogenesis, and which is the consistent until the last day of incubation. And remember, starting on the day 15, there's a high rich of acid class methanogenesis. Remember, on the start day 15, last time we see there's a decrease in acetate concentration in those sites. And on these two boxes, on the day two, the rate is really small and is consistent to the last day of the incubation. Even we found that increased the pH indeed increased the rate, but basically the rate of the acid class methanogenesis is relatively slow, is relatively small in amblyotrophic box, but somehow it's higher in the metallotrophic sites. So again, we define the efficiency of methane production as the ratio of the methane production to the total gaseous carbon production, and which is on the y-axis. And it's clearly you can see here that when we increase the pH, increase the efficiency of methane production across all the sites is pretty consistent. And most interesting, we found that at a pH 5.5 across all the sites, the efficiency is the highest on the pH 5, regardless of the pH types. So this suggests there's indeed a strong pH controls on the methane efficiency. However, we also noticed that in the two blocks, the efficiency somehow is relatively low when you compare to the metallotrophic sites. So that tells us maybe there's some other factors happening here controls the efficiency of methane production. So to sum up, we find that fermentation is the major pathway for anaerobic carbon cycling and mineralization across the different pit types and pH. And we find that when you increase the pH, we increase the promotes the fermentation production of acetate and carbon dioxide, and which increase the substrate to the methanogens and enhance the efficiency of methane production. And we also find that there's a substantial acetate accumulations and no methane productions in amblyotrophic sites, even at high pH, which suggests that there's some other factor controls the methanogenesis other than pH. However, in the metallotrophic, we found that the fermentation production is highly coupled to the consumption. So to conclude, how the pH controls the carbon mineralization to methane production, and it's different with the metallotrophic sites and amblyotrophic sites. So in the metallotrophic sites, without the presence of those terminal electron acceptors, and organic and the carbon mineralization pretty much goes through the methanogenesis. And we found that when we increase pH, we increase the fermentation production of acetate and carbon dioxide, and those the substrate we consume by the methanogenesis later on. So in the metallotrophic side, we believe that the control the carbon mineralization to methane pretty much comes from the pH limitation on the fermenters. And which limits the substrate to methanogens. And in the amblyotrophic side, we also find that when we increase pH, increase the fermentation production acetate and carbon dioxide. So pretty much the same story in the first part is the pH limitation on the fermenters. However, we also find that in those sites, the methane production is really small. So that means there's some other factor exist to limit the methanogens right here. And this factor, we believe, is not the carbon quality because we find that there's a higher acetate concentration at a higher pH. And we also have a similar experiment trying to understand whether the nutrient availability and trace matter control this activity. And we find that neither one is the factor that controls the methane production right here. And we know that the amblyotrophic sites, the vegetation pretty much is dominated by spinum, and which has the higher phenolic compounds on those vegetations. And those compounds can inhibit the microbial activity. So we believed maybe because the those phenolic compounds limit the methanogenic activities in the amblyotrophic sites. However, more research needs to be done to confirm this statement. And this project was funded by NSF and other Los Posens and Institute for their help during the experiment. With that, I'd like to take any question you may have. Thanks.